In Washington, a political uproar continues over whether the White House exaggerated evidence about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction in the run-up to the war. But the issue has not yet caused much of a controversy with the public. Although more and more Americans are willing to believe the administration may have overstated Iraqi weapons, those doubts have not caused large numbers of people to reconsider their support for the war itself. NPR's national political correspondent Mar-a-Lago has more.
Republican strategists inside and out of the White House are paid to worry about anything that might turn into a problem for the president. And the ongoing furor over what happened to the weapons of mass destruction that President Bush said he knew were in Iraq is a potential political problem. But Republican pollster Whit Ayers, who's based in Atlanta, thinks that it will not become a big one. Outside the Beltway, Ayers says Americans do care whether the weapons are found.
But they don't necessarily care about it in the same way that it's been interpreted by some of the more liberal voices in the country. The failure to find weapons of mass destruction to this point does not undermine the rationale for the war. We know that Saddam Hussein funded terrorism. We know that he was a brutal and destabilizing dictator for the entire region. Those were reasons for going to war in Iraq, in addition to finding weapons of mass destruction.
For now, Americans seem willing to give President Bush the benefit of the doubt. Stephen Kull, who conducts surveys of public attitudes on international policy at the University of Maryland, agrees with other pollsters who say it's way too early to draw conclusions about the end state of public opinion on this matter.
There's some strange story here. The weapons did exist at some point, and they are somewhere, and we don't know where. It's a great story, this mystery. Who done it? Where is it? And until we have a really plausible story about where they are, Americans are going to continue to wonder, but probably not come to complete closure.
The search for the weapons of mass destruction is still going on, of course, and in one recent CBS News poll, two-thirds of those surveyed said they were confident the U.S. will find them eventually. But Kull's most recent survey does suggest a potential problem for the White House.
There is the possibility that this could turn. Now, when we asked, do you think the administration has been misleading, only 50% said that they were confident that the government wasn't being misleading. That's not a very high percentage.
Kull's poll also turned up some striking evidence about the extent of the public's misinformation about the weapons. A third of the people Kull surveyed believe that the U.S. has found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. 22% believe Iraq actually used chemical or biological weapons against U.S. troops.
Well, how do these misperceptions appear? In terms of the perception that the United States has found weapons of mass destruction, there have been a whole series of headlines saying, oh, it looks like we've found the smoking gun. And that's a headline. Now, a day or two later, back on page 14, there's another story that says, oh, whoops, that doesn't turn out to really be the case.
And Kull points out the president himself, on his trip to Poland last month, said, quote, we found the weapons of mass destruction, unquote. He was referring to the two trucks that administration officials believe were used as mobile weapons labs. But that distinction appears to have been lost on much of the public. The missing weapons may not be a political problem for the White House right now, but that doesn't mean there isn't political pressure on Mr. Bush to explain why he was so certain Saddam Hussein had chemical and biological weapons. Hearings on how pre-war intelligence was handled have begun in both houses of Congress, and twice this week the president himself lashed out at what he calls second-guessers on Capitol Hill and around the world, people who question the threat posed by Saddam Hussein.
And I know there's a lot of revisionist history now going on. But one thing is certain, he is no longer a threat to the free world, and the people of Iraq are free.
The American public may not need to be convinced the war was worth it, even if the weapons don't show up, but public opinion in Europe is another matter. Jeremy Rosner, a Clinton White House national security official who now conducts public opinion polls all over the world, says he's not as concerned about countries like France, where the missing weapons have only intensified existing anti-war feeling. Rosner says he's more concerned about countries like England, where Tony Blair had managed to shift public opinion in favor of the war, but now is facing a political firestorm of charges that he and President Bush manipulated intelligence. Rosner says U.S. officials are being too dismissive of legitimate questions.
There's almost a new isolationism going on. If the old isolationism was that we isolated ourselves by not engaging, the new isolationism is that we isolate ourselves by how we engage, and doing so in a way that alienates our friends and allies abroad. And there's a real danger, you know, that if we, even if support is here, strong for the war in the absence of having found the weapons, if we dismiss international concerns about the way this question is being pursued and about how intelligence was used and about the concerns that foreign publics have on this issue, we threaten to come off in a way that is so arrogant that we isolate ourselves, that we undermine support in countries that otherwise would be friendly to us. And that's a needless, self-inflicted wound.
And that could make it a lot harder to get the support of those otherwise friendly countries next time the U.S. says it has information about threats from Iran or Syria or North Korea. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.